Okay, welcome into another edition of the Duly Noted Podcast. Appreciate everybody for clicking on. Just a programming note. This will be the last one for a little while. Going to take a little bit of time off. Obviously, I've got my golf tournament coming up in a couple of weeks, and some vacation time coming. We'll come back with one right before SEC Media Days, which is the second week in July. So it's not that long a break, about a month. But we need some time off. And again, there's not a ton of stuff to talk about, but we've got a lot to talk about today. Obviously, we're going to talk a little Gator baseball, Gator softball, some of the other things. Robbie Andrews is going to join us for our podcast. We haven't had Robbie on one, but I always look forward to getting his thoughts. So we'll talk some Gator football with him as well. It is funny. It is talking season, and I'm always it always cracks me up to look at some of the stories that everybody's doing. And look, I'm not being critical in any way because we're doing the same thing. Robbie and I have been giving these daily football fixes. In fact, we're going to tape a few video ones today. But the daily football fix, the idea is here's something maybe you hadn't thought about. Here's something, our prediction for this. I know I did one the other day on who's got the most 12 or 10 win seasons in the SEC. I know what Robbie's done a couple on different players and different, but that's what happens this time of year. It's baseball and softball and all that are very important, but it's still football oriented in the South. And so all over these websites, everybody's doing them. And I've seen a bunch of them and some of them come to mind. I look at them and I go, you know, that's something that's kind of interesting. So I just jotted down a few football things that I'm going to be looking for this fall. Number one, the first-year coaches who flop and the ones who are successful, I think there are going to be some major flops in first-year coaches. And the one that appears to be the most obvious is Herm Edwards because they're doing things so differently out there now. A guy who hasn't been coaching forever, hasn't been coaching in college. They've made him kind of the CEO of the program, and it's a whole new kind of a mindset, a whole new strategy of how to do it. But it doesn't look like it's going to work right away. So you could see a major flop there. I think there are obviously three new ones in the state. How will they do? How will Willie Taggart do? I don't think it's going to be ultra successful the first year. I don't think Dan Mullen's going to be ultra successful the first year. And certainly Josh Heupel down at UCF, that's a tough act to follow in Scott Frost. Guys who I think will be really successful. Another one is Joe Moorhead at Mississippi State. I don't know enough about Joe Moorhead. I'm curious to meet him at SEC Media Days and also – to see what kind of team they end up having this year. I mean, they've got some pretty good players. I mean, that's the funny thing. If you were going to rank, and I'm talking about for the programs traditionally, if you were going to take Mississippi State and Florida and talk about the cupboard and whether it was how bare or full it was, I'm not saying Mississippi State has better players than Florida right now, but I think Mississippi State, what Dan Mullen left them is better than what he inherited. Does that make any sense at all? In other words, I think Mississippi State's he's got good players there, good enough to win 7 or 8 games. And here at Florida, probably good enough to win 7 or 8 games. But the mindsets are different. The expectations are different. So having a team that can win 7 or 8 games here means you've got some catching up to do. You have a team that can win 8 games at Mississippi State, and you're like, hey, we're where we need to be. So that'll be interesting. Another question I keep hearing, is the U back? I'm not going to believe that one until I see it. It's kind of like one of those show-me deals. Okay, yeah, they had a great year. They didn't finish strong. The year before, they had a good year going. Then they lost 4 in a row. You know, they're not back. Could they be back? That is, to me, is one of the intriguing questions of the 2018 season. I'd be rooting for them not to be back, but certainly they could be, and they have some talent, a lot of talent down there. But I don't think they have overwhelming talent. I don't think, and again, home field advantage has gotten better. I don't think it'll ever be what it was at the Orange Bowl. In fact, I know it won't be. The Orange Bowl was a tough place to go. It was a nasty, nasty stadium. The people were nasty. The music was nasty. And when you went down there, you were in for a fight. Now you're going to a really nice stadium, and it's so far from campus that they're starting to get bigger crowds, but I don't think it'll ever be the kind of home field advantage that it was when they were really going. Here's another question that kind of popped up. Can you take anybody's college football playoff scenario or prediction seriously if it doesn't include Alabama? And my answer is no. A, Alabama's there every year. But B, they're going to be really good. I don't care how many players they get drafted. The factory there is amazing. The more I read up, and again, we just watched, well, it's not just, but back in January, you know, a lot of young players, especially freshman quarterback, have really good games in the national title game. They can lose 12 guys to the NFL and go, okay, big deal. Who's next? And it's just continually putting them in there. They've got a schedule that is tough again, as it always is, but don't forget in the East, they get Tennessee, and that's not tough. I'm trying to remember who their other East game is, but I don't think it's overwhelming. I think, and I'm pretty sure it's at home, but I think if you fill out, whether you're writing a story or filling out something that somebody says, hey, I'm curious what you think, and you have a Final Four, it doesn't have Alabama, you're just trying to be different. That's all you're doing. And I'm not taking your Final Four seriously. I still haven't really come up with mine yet. Maybe I'll give you that after the SEC media days. But I know Alabama's in it. I know that they're one of the teams. A lot of questions about Will Grier and the Heisman. I got one, though. How about Ed Oliver and the Heisman, the Houston defensive tackle? People are already starting kind of a campaign, and I'm like, save your breath. For a defensive player to win the Heisman, he's got to play some offense. So if you want to put Ed Oliver in there on third and goal, that's your only chance. And even then, that's not going to do it. The reason Charles Woodson won it was because he was running back punts and they were putting him on offense, running some bubble screens to him, letting him use his athletic ability. Ed Oliver's not winning the Heisman. You know how great you would have to be as a defensive tackle. First of all, your team would have to go undefeated. Okay, have to go undefeated, and you would have to sack a guy on like every other play. So that's not happening. Don't worry about it. There'll be somebody that, if he has a great year and stays healthy, there'll be somebody that puts him third on their ballot. Not much of a chance. Will the Pac-12 have a representative in the Final Four? Now, we've had, 4 years of college football playoffs, and they've had two. One got to the title game. Oregon didn't get it done. The other one got beat Washington a couple of years ago. The Pac-12's been no factor, though. Other than that Oregon team. That Oregon team's the only one that has. I'm curious about that. But let me go from Oregon to Orgeron, which they sound a little bit alike. There is this consensus that this guy is on his way out, and they look at his schedule and they go, there, I see loss, loss, loss. Who do they pull from the East? They get Florida and Georgia. That's not good. Can he survive this year? And can Joe Oliva survive this year? Because Joe Oliva, this was his guy after he struck out with some other guys. And look, the thing that I've got to be asking myself if I'm an LSU fan, and I would think that this is a topic of conversation still, is clearly Jimbo Fisher wanted to go. He wanted out of FSU. There have been rumblings about it for a long time. LSU talked to him before they hired Orgeron. They could have gone back without a problem. And if he's interested, here, well, yeah. Now, was it purely financial? Because I know they've had budget problems there and all. But if I'm an LSU fan, I'm sitting there going, why don't we have Jimbo Fisher instead of A&M having him? So those are just some of the football questions that are out there for me. And then I jotted down most interesting teams to me this year. And we all know, look, the most interesting team's going to be Florida, right? Because Florida's the team we're most interested in. But I wrote down several teams, one of them being Florida State, Oklahoma. Really interested in seeing how what they're like this year. UCLA is a – look, I believe in my heart that Florida dodged a bullet in Chip Kelly. And maybe I'm only looking at it from a media standpoint. Like, from a media standpoint, I know we dodged a bullet. Dan Mullen's pretty easy to get along with so far. He's been great. I know it's not buddy-buddy relationship, but he's been great with me, and we've had some interesting discussions already. And Chip Kelly, that wasn't going to happen. So from a media aspect, yes, we definitely dodged a bullet. I think the fans dodged a bullet too. I don't think that recruiting-wise and it wasn't the right guy to come here. I know I think I've used this analogy before. You know, Chip Kelly was the girl who walks in the party with a low-cut dress and the blonde hair that she's had done. And you look and you go, whoa, look at her. And then she starts talking and you go, yeah, you know, I'm going to step over here. Now, that may be a sexist. So we don't want to be sexist. What's wrong with sexy? That's a line from Spinal Tap. So let's say Chip Kelly's the guy who walks in with a new suit and the perfectly cut hair, and you look at him, and the girls look at him and go, hey, look at that. Oh, look who just walked in. And he comes in, and he goes, nice lady, how are you with your change and the flavin and the lying? Yeah, so that's the best. Neither one of those analogies probably works for you, but they work for me. So I really believe Florida dodged a bullet there, but I am really interested in seeing how UCLA does this year. You know, Clay Helton at UCLA or USC is got a really good team again, but they can't seem to get over the hump. Do things change with UCLA? I don't know. I'm just curious to see where that goes. And of course, Nebraska is another team I think a lot of us are interested in seeing how Scott Frost does there. All right, so. There's our football talk, and we'll have Robbie Andrew on in just a bit to talk a little bit more about the Gators. Did want to talk about baseball's lost weekend in Starkville. While I'm surprised that they played as poorly as they did, I'm not surprised that they lost a series. Look, that team was loaded for bear, and I'm talking about Mississippi State. They had to win to get into the SEC tournament. They certainly needed to help their standing in the NCAA tournament. And they came out swinging their bats like crazy. However, this all really goes back to when Jordan Butler came in the game. And here's Florida with a 3-0 lead. And Jordan Butler and Michael Byrne to close it out. You're thinking this game's pretty much over. And instead, they get shelled. Second game just went, was a disaster. Again, throwing Leftwich. And then, of course, the third game, Kowar didn't have it. One thing that I and then of course Byrne and Butler again get hit hard. One thing that it looks like with Byrne that his arm may be a little tired. If I'm Kevin O'Sullivan, and I am not ever going to tell Kevin O'Sullivan what to do, but I can say it on here, make a suggestion. I am not pitching him in the SEC tournament. Let him rest. He's pitched a lot of innings. He's pitched a lot of stressful innings this year. I think maybe he just needs some time off. Now, I know that the feeling for Florida is, hey, you want to run him back out there and get his confidence back up before NCAAs. And I'll understand that if that's what they do. But if his arm is truly tired, if he's got a dead arm, I don't see the point in running him out for a tournament that means nothing. Florida is going to be a national seed. I don't care where they're ranked in RPI. I don't care where they're ranked in the polls. They're still number one, by the way. They're going to be a national seed. They're going to be hosting a regional. If they win, they will host a super regional no matter what happens in Hoover. Winning the conference championship is what matters. Winning the conference tournament championship is just a nice thing. And it's fun. It's a lot more fun when it's softball because they don't get tired. You know, you can pitch Barnhill and Ocasio and you're not hurting them for the following week. In fact, one of the things they did, and I'll get to softball in a minute, was bring in Ocasio in the first game because they wanted to get her back out on the mound because make sure she's fresh. So, look, obviously not having Singer this weekend was a huge factor. And for Florida baseball wise, the key for them is you throw Brady Singer out there in the first game and you're probably going to win. He's going to hold them down. You get three runs, you win the game, game over. Not having him is a factor. He had a hamstring. I don't know if he'll pitch this week. There's a guy now I would think you want to get out there if he's 100% healthy, because you want him to get a little sharpness before the regionals. But, you know, it just was a bad weekend. It just toes to show you in this conference, it's hard to win series, and they won 16 in a row in the conference. It's ridiculous. That's what I'm going to take from this weekend more than anything, is it's so hard to win series, and they did it 16 straight times. That, to me, is amazing. All right, softball, I was out there for the whole thing. It was brutal because Ohio State had a pitcher that could not throw strikes. She walked – well, they walked 15, and then she walked 11. And if you're not a huge fan of either one of those teams, it had to be unwatchable, I'm guessing. And sitting in that press box, I cannot wait until – what do we have? The most, we have three more games in that press box. And look, there was a time when it was a great press box when it was first built. But then as ESPN and the SEC Network started to take over, and now you can't get around in there, and you got to pick out which seat you want to watch, sit in where you can't really see it all. I go out usually and watch a lot of it out in the stands. But I want to swing the sledgehammer to knock down that press box. I can't wait to see the new stadium. And as soon as this series is over with Texas A&M, they will do that. But what a performance by Alicia Ocasio. I mean, they all did fine. Lorenz is unbelievable, one of the best to ever come here. But Ocasio is somebody that a month ago a lot of people were really down on. Here's somebody who never seems to get a big hit and always gives up the homer that loses them the game. And, you know, people were down. I know I was talking to Nick Della Torre, and their website, people want her off the team. She's a really good player, and she's a really good athlete, and she looks like she's ready to be that senior who puts the team on her back, that it might not be Kelly Barnhill. Come on, ride my back. I'll pitch shutout after shutout. She looked incredible. So congratulations to her and congratulations to Florida. We take these things for granted. We talked about this last week, how now in football, nobody's taking anything for granted. You lose four games or you win four games, two of the last five seasons. You're not taking anything for granted anymore. You're not even taking bowl games for granted. Well, we do take it for granted that baseball and softball are going to be in the regional. They're going to be in the super regional. They're going to host, right? They're not going to have to travel. Every year, that probably, what is it, eight times for softball and six under Sully for baseball, I think it is, are going to go to the College World Series. It's a pretty cool thing. Yeah, you know they're going. It's just like with the All Sports Award that the Gatehouse presented. That's, of course, our newspaper, but we keep track of it. We take that for granted. 12 in a row, yeah, sure. Florida won another one. Yeah, get the trophy. Give it to them at a football game. It's pretty impressive, though, to every year to not have a bad year and not have somebody come up and have a tremendous year that all of a sudden usurps you. They can't do it because Florida, six SEC championships this year. I think that really does get taken for granted a lot, and it shouldn't be. All right, take a break. We'll come back with Robbie Andrew of the Gainesville Sun. All right, welcome back to the Duly Noted Podcast. We are here now with the great Robbie Andrew from the Gainesville Sun. You've been reading his daily football fixes. Are you running out of them yet?
Getting close.
It is
getting harder every day.
Yeah, it is hard to come up with a lot of them. But, you know, we want to give them to the readers and give them different things. But let's talk about, you know, just kind of what the buzz you feel around the program, Robbie, both when you're over there, when you're around people, and with the fans, because I know you end up spending a lot of time with a lot of fans, some of them even in your family.
Yeah. But Pat, I think the big thing is the energy that he's generated over there now. And, you know, last year, you know, McElwain talked about dead fish. He was one of them last year. I mean, during press conferences, like Mark Long would say, "What's wrong? Are you something bothering you?" This was before.
Yeah, no, you're right though. Yeah.
So he talked about dead fish. He became a dead fish, and a lot of people around that program were dead fish too. And now Mullen's come in. He's energized people. He's getting the administration involved in things. Everybody's excited about the new beginning, and he's really he's a guy that obviously is happy to be here. And I don't know if McElwain was ever that thrilled about being here, at least the last year or so. But
yeah, was it the Michigan game that kind of – the Michigan game and then the hurricane.
Yeah. And then the player suspensions before that. It all kind of
sucked all the life out of
it
him.
It did.
And
the program. You could feel it.
Yeah. And look, as we sit here today, there's only been one issue so far, but it's a long summer, and that was with an incoming recruit. It wasn't even a guy who was here.
And it was pretty minor, Pat, to be honest with you.
Well, I don't know. Minor, to me, it was a big red flag.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he's got a temper, obviously.
Yeah. And you never do that anything like that to a woman or anybody. Yeah. So we'll keep an eye on him.
Or to a car.
Yeah.
You don't kick a car.
We'll keep an eye on him. And I think that's kind of the philosophy. But that, to me, is one of the keys, is what they do this summer. I spent some time with Nick Savage the other day, and you know, he was talking about all the stuff they need to do. But they're trying to – people are under the impression that Florida's just trying to get bigger and faster, stronger. And he said, look, we need to have athletes.
Yeah.
And that's what – when you look at these guys last year, just on the hoof, you went, yeah, he's big.
Yeah.
but is he any good?
Yeah, you know? I know. Could he move? I mean, especially the linemen, they're big and strong, but could they move? And you didn't see that. And the thing is, too, Pat, the whole program last year, I think you – talked to players in the spring. They were talking about how the whole goal in the weight room was to be a fast team. That it wasn't about being strong or athletic. It was about being faster than the other team. And I think that you know, there's a new approach now.
Yeah. And
more of an old-fashioned approach. Get stronger, quicker, do it all.
And I can't go into a store, though, or where anybody knows me, where they don't ask me about the quarterback. Who's going to be the quarterback?
Yeah.
And I'm like, look, if I knew, I'd write it.
Yeah.
You know? I mean, I'm not keeping it a secret from anybody.
And if Mullen knew, he'd tell you.
Yeah, exactly.
So he doesn't know right now.
You know, it looks like a two-man race, and there's nothing that I saw in the practices that we were allowed to go do in the spring game that made one of them look better than the other. I thought they were about the same, and I think it's really important they have big summers. But then, I just get the feeling that – Gator fans may not be as happy with this season as they want to be, because they really want to be energized. But I'm still not the quarterback position is going to have to show me.
No, and I mean, Pat, none of these guys have done it before. I mean, we've seen the body of work of Franks. It's been very inconsistent.
Right.
Does he fit what Mullen wants to do? I think Emory Jones eventually is going to be the quarterback that they want in his skill set, but you know, Mullen's talked about bringing him along slowly, keeping him in situations where he's comfortable. So you got to bring him along slowly, like he did with Tebow his freshman year. I think he did a good job of getting him in the game, giving him plays that he could execute. And I think you'll see that from Jones. I think he'll get a set of plays this year, I think.
I think the key is they don't have enough players from St. John's County.
That's always a problem.
If you got, you know, you go back to Brandon James and Tim Tebow.
Yeah.
What happened?
I know.
National championship.
Boy, they missed that Brandon James, the home run hitter on the special teams. Kinda.
Well, let's talk about special teams for a minute, Robbie, because people have made fun of me because I harped on it so much. And it was aggravating. And you and I would sit in that press box and we go, I don't know why they just don't spot the ball on the 18 on the kickoff return.
Yeah, it was pathetic, really, watching them. The scheme was no good. The players didn't execute whatever they were trying to do. It was awful.
But I will say this, and I don't think it's an excuse, but it's a reason. And that is, when you had the knucklehead nine and then you added in the injuries, you didn't have a ton of players that were talented playing special teams.
Yeah.
Now, personally, I've never had a problem with a coach putting Vernon Hargraves on punt returns, even though he's your best player.
You got to put your best players out there.
It's either the third of the game or it's not, right?
Yeah, it is a third of the game. And the thing is, Mullen has embraced that. When Meyer was here, special teams were huge. He was very much involved. Mullen's doing the same thing.
Yeah, no
Very
question.
Much involved with it, and it's going to be a huge part of what they do. And especially when you've been bad on offense, you need a spark somewhere. They weren't getting any from special teams either.
Well, and that's something we've talked about a little bit, Robbie, is stealing easy points.
Yeah.
You know, you recover a fumble on the two and you punch it in. And they never recover a fumble last year.
I know.
They have three the whole year and they were all in the last couple of games. You get a pick six, which they got a couple early. But you run back a kick. You run back a punt to the 12 or stuff like that. You've got to get easy points. People don't score points because everything's an 80-yard drive.
Yeah, that doesn't happen. It's too tough. These, you know, the defenses out there are too fast, too good. You need a short field sometimes. And Florida never got a short field, it seemed like last year, in the last couple of years. And there's been no effort on special teams to change things around. And I think you're going to see that. A lot of work's going to be put into it, and they're going to have players that can make plays on it. And it's a very important part of the game now.
Yeah, it's funny because the kicking game, the actual kickers
was great.
Nowhere near what they were last year.
Yeah, they were great last year, but that was it. Every other aspect was poor.
I don't think it's that hard to study it and come up with blocking schemes.
Yeah.
I just don't get it. And here's the other thing that drove me crazy, Robbie. Florida never blocked a kick.
Never came close.
Well, they got the one in the Michigan game, but I think it accidentally ran into his arm.
Yeah.
But other than that, they never – I mean, that to me was something that staff did not get.
No.
Was how – and that Urban really got
– He did. He definitely did.
Almost to extreme. I mean, look, let's face it. Running a fake punt on your own 10-yard line, that's crazy, man.
It is.
But it worked.
Sometimes you got to do stuff like that.
And it flipped the field.
Yeah.
And guess what happens? And this is the Arkansas game we're talking about.
Yeah, of course.
They punt into the end zone, and Fish tries to catch it, and it's a touchdown for Florida.
Yeah, just like that.
Recovered by?
Yeah.
It's a good one.
The Haitian guy.
Wandy Pierre Louise.
Yeah, that's right.
So, but no, that's a big factor to me. My gut, and I know that a lot of it is based on spring and sometimes you just look at guys' names and everything, and it's really not based on anything I really know. I think they're going to be really good on defense. The linebacker depth is a question, but getting those guys back from the knucklehead nine is going to help.
Helps.
And David Reese, the other David Reese. Now, what do they do when they – they're both on the field.
And they're both probably going to be playing linebacker. So
yeah. Tackle by Reese, assist by Reese.
But the thing, too, Pat, the linebacker depth, I think, has gotten better because guys like Jefferson are going to be playing that hybrid role where he's an end, but he's actually a linebacker. So I think that helps them a little bit. They've got guys playing linebacker positions that are good players right now. And I think their defensive front should be really good. And they got all those talented young guys in the back end. So a chance to be pretty good.
Last thing for you, when you're sitting down in Atlanta, not Hoover, thank God, the town that Sidewalks forgot, we don't have to go there. But when you're sitting down there, who are you going to pencil in at the top? And give me your top three in each division.
Well, Pat, everybody's going to pick Georgia.
Right.
I think they're going to probably be a unanimous pick. And then I think in order after that, either South Carolina or Florida second, and then whoever it in third. And I think, you know, at the West, Alabama, Auburn.
Who would you pick, though?
I'd pick Georgia. I would pick Florida because South Carolina has to come to Gainesville.
Good point.
And, you know, Muschamp has turned things around up there, but we saw some old Muschamp in that game last year, Pat, where they should have blown Florida out and had a comfortable win.
Florida's got the ball with a chance to get out.
Yeah, he let them stay in the game. We saw that when he was here.
Yeah.
So, to me, I would pick Florida right now.
Okay, and then the West?
Alabama, Auburn. After that,
it's
Texas A&M, I think.
Yeah, and I –
But, you know, quarterback issue there. Does Jimbo have a guy that –
Yeah, it's a culture change, you know, for everybody, too. And although I will say this, his hair plugs have worked really well. Have you noticed that?
And his wardrobe, he's changed it around.
Yeah.
He's got the country western look going, so wearing the boots.
He always had a little bit of that. But, and the big mystery to me, I just mentioned Ed Orgeron with LSU. LSU has Georgia and Florida from the east. Not a good year to play the two best teams in the East.
No, it's not.
When people are wanting you out anyway.
Yeah, and you get the feeling out there, Pat, that there's not a lot of confidence in Orgeron and his staff right now, that people are thinking this isn't really going anywhere. And if they have a poor start, you know, it could be the beginning of the end for the Coach O era out there.
All right, that'll do it for our guest, Robbie Andrew of the Gainesville Sun. We waited for the last one of the, I don't know, the school year, I guess.
Yeah, school year.
Fiscal year.
Yeah.
And then, as I said, Robbie and I will be out in Atlanta for SEC Media Days, and I'll do a podcast just leading up to that. But thanks for coming on, Robbie. We'll take a break. We'll come right back with three things here on the Duly Noted Podcast at Gatorsports.com. All right, welcome back to the duly noted podcast, GatorSports.com. We'll finish it up with three things. Thanks to Rob for Robbie coming on. It wasn't hard. He was sitting on the next desk. It is a really cool story. If you don't know the story of Robbie Andrew and myself, it is pretty amazing. Two guys who got to know each other in high school, at St. Augustine High School, went to Florida, actually went to St. John's Community College, roomed together, went to Florida, roomed together our senior year, and then working together at desks side by side here, one day apart, we were born. Pretty amazing. I don't know. I think it is. I think there's a story there. There's a movie there. It's not a good movie, but there's a movie there. All right, give you three things. Number one, if I was commissioner of sports, we've talked about me being commissioner of sports before, because it would be I would be like the most beloved man of all, because I would straighten things out. One of them I would straighten out is softball and the rules that they have. Okay, look, I'm not talking about putting players in and as designated players and pinch running for somebody, and then next thing you know, she's back in the game in right field. All that stuff, that's fine. I don't have a problem with all that. I don't understand it sometimes. It baffles me. But when you have these rules like illegal pitches, there was a game I was watching, and you could yell at me for watching Northwestern softball, but I was watching it. It was the beginning of the tournament, and I was excited that the tournament was getting ready to start. And they had 11 illegal pitches. Nobody wants to go watch that. Nobody wants to be there for it. Nobody wants to watch it on TV. Let the illegal pitches go. That would be the first rule. The second rule is, and I saw this in the SEC tournament, these slap hitters, if they step across the line there, they're getting called out. That is the dumbest rule ever. I don't care. I mean, not that they're getting called out, but how would they expect an umpire to watch balls and strikes and notice whether the girl's stepping out? So I started watching on TV. They're doing it all the time, slap hitters. It's just when they happen to catch them. Softball's got to get away from some of these rules and make it. I would think it wants to be a mainstream sport, and it's not. Is it a big deal? Yeah, especially around here where Florida's been to a lot of College World Series. Sure. ESPN loves it. It's programming more than anything, especially in the dog days. Get your rules, though, so that it's just easier for the average person to understand. I can't tell you how many times a play has happened and we have no idea what it is in the press box. Nobody knows what it is. And it's that way at Oklahoma City. I remember when I was covering a game one time, Florida's playing UCLA. The UCLA batters up. It's a 2-2 count. Next thing you know, she's going to the dugout. And I go, what happened? Well, I found out like an hour later, she'd taken too long to dig in, and they'd called her out. Softball, you need to change. Just for me. All right, number two, we are less than 100 days from football, and that is a great thing. I know the summer is rough for everybody that loves college football. And, you know, there are things that keep you going. Like, obviously, having baseball go as late as it did last year helped. Obviously, having softball going helps. And the playoffs help for a while. But then you get to the real dog days. And luckily, SEC Media Days helps a little bit with that. But then you have another break. But we're close. Hopefully, by the time it kicks off, we'll be done with this stupid UCF-Alabama feud over national championships. Look, it was dumb when it started. It's dumber now. Although, I do like that Scott Frost did point out that Alabama's claimed some national titles that they didn't win. And, yeah, so Saban should never have said a word. Because, yeah, it is. They did earn it. They are the national titleists. There's no question about it. UCF isn't. They can have all the fake parades and fake stuff they want. It's a fake title. But Nick Saban, you're not the guy to talk, because you coach at a school that went back retroactively just recently. It hasn't been that long. I wish I could tell you the year, but went back and said, hey, you know, here was a year where the Walter Camp people said we were national champs. And here's a year where the Pigskin Preview said we were the champions, so we're going to claim that one too. Well, we lost our bowl game that year, but we're still national champs. Nah, you can't complain about UCF if you're Alabama. You can't complain about fake championships. Alabama leads America in fake championships. Also pretty good at winning real ones, though. And finally, before I take off for this little break I'm going to be on and have our golf tournament, just want to once again thank everybody for helping us out with our golf tournament. Some of them have been podcast listeners who've come through. We talked about one of them who sent us a package that was incredible. Some of them have been just people who've in the area that have come forward. It's just been a daily thing, and it's been amazing. Davis Chevrolet, PG Chiropractors are our title sponsors. They've been amazing. There's so much out there. I'm going to just say this one more time, and this will be the last of it, and you won't hear much about it till after it's over. But if you are in town on June 9th, come on out, bid on some stuff. The stuff is amazing. It is unlike anything you'll ever see at a golf tournament in terms of silent auction items. And you can get into the raffle, and the raffle stuff is pretty darn good too. So come on out, and again, you're supporting a great cause, Stop Children's Cancer, and I appreciate everybody for listening. I appreciate you for putting up with it, putting up with my ramblings about it, because it's an important thing to me, the tournament itself, and the charity certainly. Thanks again to Robbie Andrew for being on the final podcast of the school year. Again, we'll take a little break here, come back with you before the SEC Media Days. We appreciate everybody for listening in. I'm Pat Dooley. I'm the sports columnist of the Gainesville Sun. I am deep. I am way back. And I'm out of here.